Oh, what do I do? So I clicked on the first one. Okay. Well, it's there. I hope we can get to the next slide. Let's go. Oh. Down. There you go. Down. Down arrow. Take it to the next slide. Right
there. Right at the beginning. When you found the job, I was like, hey, thank God.
So, and it's totally up to you guys if you want to sit out there or sit up here.
I think that we should be here, okay. So it's faster for the transition.
Okay. And it's I would do presentation IFT and IAFT, and I've never seen two done the same way. There. 10 people on this thing. But since it's only, let's see, it's 4 of you, and then, so it's enough room, it's 5, so it's enough, yeah. Then I go to Raphael, Annie,
Comps,
Kay, and then Cheryl. Cheryl, okay. Now, whose book is this? Have you any idea?
Not mine.
Not mine either. I don't. I put mine away someplace. I don't know where I put it. And. This is kind of weird. Maybe I'll move it over. Because if you're right here, you can at least have control over your slides. See, I'm so left-handed, so this is perfect for me right here. But I'm trying to think what makes sense from the audience perspective. Because if you're looking up. Now, did you go to any other sessions today?
Not today. I went to some of the ones.
How did they do it?
And people sat up here, but they had a party. Monday.
I'm also naked in that. Maybe it'll be a smaller group, and that way everyone will. Yeah, you'll feel more together. Just move up closer.
Okay. And there's something comforting by standing behind it.
Uh huh. Okay, and I have, I'm going to forget his name, Ellie, Ellie Bermudez, and then Cheryl Kate. Mm-hmm. So how long have you been with RTI?
20 years.
Wow, wow. That is a long time. Now, are you from that area?
From Charlotte.
Okay.
Like 3 hours.
Okay.
From Raleigh,
Durham. Yeah. From the south. From the south. Yeah. My allergies have been messing up today. Well, if it's like sunny outside, I'll.
Okay.
I'll get stuffy.
Are you spending any extra time while you're here?
I came in Friday night, actually.
Okay,
yeah,
you've been
here. Yeah, yeah. And today is hot. And I say it's awfully hot today. But it can get warm in the summer, like really warm. But then it gets cool, like around, 4:30, 5 o'clock?
Yeah.
So it's much nicer in the afternoon, late afternoon. So if you can just get through that 11 to 2 or something, it's like, it's so hot.
So it's a little warmer than it usually is. I always hear that San Diego is 75
year round. Yeah, it does feel warmer now since the first time I ever came. I was like, why is it so warm now?
There's that old global warming.
Yeah, don't blame it on that. Blame it on anything but that. Now, I don't have a timer, but I'll periodically just kind of look at my thingy. But I'm sure you guys are fine.
And we have extra time now. Missy and Robin's presentation.
Oh, excellent. Ah, excellent. Fantastic.
So do you always come to APHA?
I have for the past couple years. Last year it was in Washington. The year before, I want to say it was in Philadelphia, was it?
No, it's my first time.
Oh, okay. Kind of off and on. Just depends if there's something else going on. They'll send me to APHA because no one else can go.
So you have a booth here?
Yeah, yeah, we have a booth, yeah. But ADA was the exact same time as APHA this year, so everyone else tends to go there as opposed to coming here, so.
So are you on, like, the food and nutrition committee?
Food safety. I'm on food safety.
Food safety, okay.
So we have nutrition team and the food safety team. So under food safety, we have food safety, biotech, caffeine, and ingredients committee.
Okay. So who else is on the food safety team?
You know, Dani Shore.
Uh-huh.
She's at FSIS now. She's at IFIC. Lindsay Loving. I probably don't know her. She started about a year and a half ago. She used to work with PMK Associates. And then we have a couple other that are coordinators and managers that are on the team. So there's only like four of us.
Okay.
Well, Danny, and then the four of us. And the nutrition team, Sue tends to head that up. And that's, Shelly, Wendy, Liz. You know those guys?
Mm-mm, I haven't.
Oh, okay.
Do as much nutrition.
Okay. So you are strictly food safety.
We do a little bit of nutrition work. We actually just got a new contract with FNS
okay.
to do some evaluation work. But most
okay.
of our work's in food
okay.
safety.
Okay. Good. Well, that's always good to know because you always hear about nutrition. You're just like, food safety.
I didn't ask any questions.
Food safety.
So how involved are you with APHA? Are you on
Not at all.
Like FNS
Not.
Committee or anything?
Janice had said, oh, are you going to go next year? I said, well, it's in San Diego. Of course I'll go. So from that, she said, oh, I'll put you in my race. Okay, me my
oh,
race.
Okay.
So that kind of helped me justify coming. Oh, hi, how are you doing?
Good. Just want to make sure that the green light's on, that's getting the recording, the audio.
Okay.
For the slides. So
okay. So how do we go from one presentation to the next one? We automatically go to the next one?
At the end, you'll see a little screen that will say next presentation.
Okay.
And then the name of the person, just click that button.
Okay.
There's
okay.
No.
But use a down arrow.
Yeah. So this is where it. And then when I'm done, I'll just move that way and you move here, or we move the mic. So the first presentation, it doesn't have lights or?
No, there's not gonna happen. Okay. You're the first.
So I'm Rafael.
Hi, I'm Sharon Case from Arts and Arts.
The Research Triangle
Institute
in mm-hmm. North Carolina.
Yeah. Is the mayor back here?
Well, you know, almost every meeting I go to USDA related to food stamps and stuff, there is someone from RTI that
okay.
is involved with an evaluation or...
Okay, so you do a lot of work with food stamp programs?
Well, I've been funded for 15 years now by the food stamp program with food stamp nutrition education.
Okay.
Yeah, and in fact this study was funded by another branch of USDA but using the infrastructure of the food stamp nutrition education
okay.
program.
Yeah.
So the clients, all these people are on our clients, are
okay.
or a good percent of them.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was recently, just last week, I believe, at a panel at USDA that they're trying to come up with a fiscal incentive
right, okay.
for food stamp recipients.
Probably,
yeah. I'm sure he was. Yeah. Yeah. Because there was one on evaluation.
Okay.
And that's, I believe, is he an evaluator? That's, yeah. I was in the nutrition panel because they have a number of nutrition questions where we should just include fresh fruits and vegetables or also frozen and canned
uh-huh.
fruits and vegetables and things
so
like that.
Some information
yeah.
some
and you do your research is on your...
Most of my work is in the area of food safety, but I do a little bit in the nutrition area and actually this new project that Evanes has to
yeah.
do the administrations with the
yeah. yeah. Let me give you my card because I'm on the Dietary Guidelines Committee and
okay.
I'm going to be in the Food Safety Subcommittee.
Okay.
So if you have publications, things that you think would be useful for the committee to look at,
okay.
you can.
Yeah.
yeah. Idea behind this is try to apply the HACCP type approach, the household level, and identify for different recipes different control points
uh-huh.
so that eventually you could have like recipe books or labels that include a food safety diagram indicating, you know, the critical points, wash your hands, wash the cutting board,
mm-hmm.
and things like that.
Why not do it in your home?
And the main biggest difference that industry people bring up is that you don't have the same level of monitoring and controlling the whole kitchen. But that's the case now, but you'll see 10 years from now on the stuff that is going to be available through
mm-hmm.
the technology.
Right.
You know, So.
Listen, when they change their email, it's Ibermudez. The rest is
okay,
the same.
So it's your first initial.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Very good.
It's like it's battery too.
Here.
However you want to say fun, just so you know that Robin will not be doing the first section, the first presentation. Raphael, you're doing the one for Dr.
Yep.
Ellie, you're doing yours. Uh-huh. And I do not see Paige here. I do not know who she is or what she looks like. Okay. Okay.
Yep.
But you got my unit, right?
Yes.
Good, good. So I had to change it. Okay? So I know each of you have, you present like 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. So somebody will want to stick to that, and they will offer an opportunity for people to ask questions after each of your presentations. We'll say no more than two.
Okay.
If you get out early, fine.
Okay.
You okay with that?
Okay.
So you want questions after each presentation? Or
after
one?
Each presentation.
Okay.
Yeah, because that way you won't lose your thought, your train of thought or anything.
Very good.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay. And how do you want to, come up here to the podium, or?
When we have the mouse is there, and then, you know,
yeah, so you have to come up here. So I'll just slide over to this seat.
Yeah, and then I'll move.
Yeah.
Or the racket.
So I'll just move over one minute. Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. And welcome to the APHA session of Facing the Challenges of Food Safety. My name is Tony Flood, and I'm Associate Director of Food Safety with the International Food Information Council, Washington, D.C., and I'm glad to be here today to moderate this panel of some very talented and some willing individuals who want to share some of the projects and activities they've done to address the ongoing issue of food safety in their communities. We have with us today a small change in our program. We will hear from Raphael, who will be doing the presentation on identification of critical control points and risk factors during preparation of chicken and salad meat by low-income Latina milk preparers as one of our changes. And we also have the presentation by Robin Sadodursky from USDA will not be presented today. We apologize for not being able to present. So without any further ado, I'd like to also have to mention that I have not received any financial, compensation for being here today, so I have no financial relationships to disclose. Just to kick us off, food safety is a challenge I think we notice not only today, probably more so than we've ever seen it before, and I think it's important that we all understand that food safety is a shared responsibility, and we all have a role to help make sure that people know and are aware about different food safety techniques so that we as individuals and the public can make some informed decisions and help our families to stay away from foodborne illness and other diseases. So with that, I'd like to turn the first part of our program over to Raphael Perez Elizondo, and he will do the presentation on identification of critical control points and risk factors during preparation of chicken and salad meal by low-income Latina meal preparers. And after each presentation, we'll have an opportunity for you to ask about two or three questions.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me well? Unfortunately, Dr. Jigna Darod could not be here with us today, and I gladly agreed to do this presentation on her behalf. Neither Dr. Darod nor myself have any conflict of interest or relationships to disclose related to this presentation. The objectives of this study are to identify critical control points for home-prepared chicken and salad using objective measurements such as direct observation and microbiological indicators. Secondly, to identify socio-demographic predictors of hand hygiene and other food handling behaviors. And thirdly, to estimate the relationship between attitude towards food safety and hygiene behaviors, including microbiological indicators on hands. For this study, 60 Puerto Rican women residing in Hartford, who were the main meal preparers of the household, were recruited. The recruitment was carried out by a bilingual outreach worker who distributed flyers in WIC offices, schools, and on inner city streets. Upon demonstrating interest, participants were asked to sign the consent form, obviously after the study was explained to them, and the date for the household visits were decided. Each household was involved in three visits over a four-day time period. On the first visit, food ingredients were delivered to the participants. The food ingredients included chicken breasts, lettuce, tomatoes, salad dressing, oil, and condiments. The second visit was conducted on the third day after enrollment. And that day, the household observation was conducted and samples were collected for further microbiological testing. The third visit, which took place the next day after the second visit, a closed-ended interview was conducted to collect sociodemographic information, to measure the attitude towards food safety, and to ask participants to provide self-reported food safety behaviors. On the first day, the food ingredients were bought on a local grocery store, and the food was then transported to the laboratory at the University of Connecticut in coolers maintained at 4 or less degrees Celsius. At the lab, samples of chicken and vegetables were removed for microbiological testing to establish the baseline microbial counts. After the ingredients were delivered to the participants' homes, at home, the participants were asked to refrigerate the veggies, freeze the chicken, and to make sure that the chicken was thawed in order to be ready on the second visit. And these are wonderful pictures of Jigna in action. On visiting the home during the meal preparation time, initially the participants' hands samples were taken. And other surface samples, like the counter, cutting boards, and knife surfaces, were taken before the meal preparation began. All participants handled the chicken first, and as mentioned earlier, the participants' hand samples were collected before they started the meal preparation. Then afterwards, the cutting or counter and knife surfaces were swapped. The chicken sample was collected after participant handled it after thawing, cutting, and cleaning, or just before they kept it for cooking. Immediately after the chicken sample was obtained, the cutting board or counter and knife surface used to cut the chicken were swapped. And finally, lettuce and tomato samples were collected after washing, cutting and mixing, or just before use. All the samples were then transferred to the laboratory in coolers maintained at 4 degrees Celsius or less. The samples collected were tested for total bacterial and coliform counts and for the presence of Salmonella, Campylobacter, Listeria species, and Staphylococcus aureus. At the third visit, closed-ended questionnaire was administered by a bilingual outreach worker in the participant preferred language, that is in English or Spanish. The interview lasted between 40 and 50 minutes. In addition to the self-report of food safety practices, socio-demographic information, and a question on attitude towards food safety was asked during this interview. All the participants, as required, were females, and the mean age of the study participants was 40. Language-wise, most of the participants, that is 60%, spoke only Spanish at home. With regards to education, as you can see, half of the participants had less than high school education, and the majority, or three-fourths of them, were born in Puerto Rico and were unemployed. Observation results show that thawing chicken on the counter was the most commonly used method, and the majority did not wash their hands or wash hands only with water before handling the chicken. With regards to cutting, 13% used the counter to cut the chicken. These observation results were compared with the total and coliform counts of the chicken sample collected after the participant handling. A difference was seen by the use of cutting surface. Both total bacterial and coliform counts were one log value higher when the counter was used as a cutting surface. Now, moving to the handling of vegetables or lettuce and tomatoes, it was observed that only 25% washed their hands with soap and water after handling the chicken and before handling vegetables. In the washing practice of produce, 13% did not wash the lettuce and tomatoes. And as you can see, the majority used a cutting board. The use of the counter to cut vegetables was also observed. In comparing observed handling behaviors with coliform counts, significant difference was seen by the washing of lettuce. In other words, the coliform count was significantly higher when the lettuce was not washed. Also, it was seen that the coliform count in tomatoes was higher when the counter was used as a cutting surface. Further, cross-contamination rate was estimated by the presence of pathogens in chicken after the handling by participants and the spread of these microbes to different surfaces during meal preparation. The overall rate of cross-contamination was 52%. Due to its high incidence, the largest proportion of cross-contamination was explained to by Staphylococcus aureus and Listeria. After the participant handling, 10% of chicken samples showed the presence of Listeria, while 42% of the chicken samples were found positive for Staphylococcus aureus. The pathogens were also recovered from surfaces such as the refrigerator, freezer handles, and the washcloth, which did not come into direct contact with the chicken, thus indicating cross-contamination. 91% of the participants tested positive in their hands for any type of bacteria. 38% of them tested positive for coliforms in their hands, and in the case of pathogens, no Campylobacter, Salmonella, or Listeria was found on the hands of participants. However, 42% of the participants tested positive for Staph aureus. And what this slide shows is that among those participants who tested positive for coliforms in their hands before handling the chicken, there was a significantly higher likelihood that the chicken sample during delivery would also test positive for coliforms. Based on direct observations and microbial indicators, 5 food handling behaviors were identified as critical control points in the preparation of the chicken and salad meal. First, the hands hygiene practices. Second point is related to the thawing method. The third critical control point is related to the use of cutting surface to cut chicken, that especially when the counter was used instead of other surfaces. And lastly, cross-contamination was identified as a fourth step, and washing of lettuce and tomatoes was identified as a critical control point during the preparation of the chicken and salad meal. When estimating the socio-demographic risk factors for food safety behaviors, we compared hands coliforms and total count by socio-demographic characteristics. We didn't find significant differences in total counts. However, when it came to coliforms, significant difference was seen by age and food safety attitude. Coliforms on hands were significantly higher among older people and among participants who considered food safety as important or somewhat important instead of very important. Specifically, we found that those who consider food safety as very important had significantly lower coliform count on their hands before starting the meal preparation. In the case of Staphylococcus aureus on the hands of participants, in addition to income, food safety attitude was also significantly related. The Staphylococcus aureus count on hands was significantly higher among lower income groups, even though all of them were low income, but the poorest of the poor, and similar to what we found with the coliform counts, those who considered food safety as important or somewhat important versus very important were more likely to test positive for this microbe on their hands before meal preparation. In terms of other food safety behaviors, once again, the attitude towards food safety came out as a significant predictor. A significantly higher percentage of participants who consider food safety as very important washed fresh produce and hands after handling meat and before handling vegetables. In the case of other socio-demographic characteristics, the use of the cutting board was less common among lower income groups. In conclusion, microbial and observational methods were used in estimating critical control points at the household level. four major critical control points identified were the thawing method, cross-contamination, washing of fresh produce, washing hands with soap and water. Inadequate sanitation behaviors, including not washing hands or surfaces with soap and water, were common among this group of individuals, as it has been found in many other segments of the population, and was a major cause of cross-contamination. Among the tested pathogens, Staphylococcus aureus was found most commonly on the kitchen surfaces, food, and on participants' hands, validating the use of this indicator as a kitchen sanitation indicator. Listeria species was the second most common pathogen found in this study, and the cross-contamination analysis indicated that the transfer of this pathogen from the chicken to other kitchen surfaces was common during meal preparation. Participants who consider food safety as very important were more likely to practice food safety behaviors such as washing fresh produce and washing hands with soap and water. There was a significant association between food safety attitude and microbiological indicators on participant hands, suggesting the need for food safety education that focuses on the following topics: hands as a vehicle of pathogen transfer, common pathogens and symptoms and risks associated to foodborne illnesses. Thank you very much. You know, unfortunately, Jigna would be the right person to answer this question specifically. What I can tell you is that if they did not rinse the lettuce and tomatoes, they were more likely to have higher loads of the microbes.
Yeah,
what the people that we observed received a packet of food safety and nutrition education after the observations were completed, and they received feedback on terms of their food behaviors. We asked them to self-report what they did, and as you can imagine, we have published a paper showing that there wasn't a very good match between what they say they did and what we actually observed them doing. So they got feedback on that as well. But most importantly, through our family nutrition program that is implemented in full partnership and by the Hispanic Health Council in Hartford, we have developed a series of food safety education and social marketing campaigns and distribution of food safety educational materials in the target community. And we have shared a lot of this work through our cooperative extension with the rest of the country. So we're hoping that our work doesn't stay just at the local level and that, in fact, it benefits Hispanics and other low-income groups all over the country. Thank you.
Thank you again very much for the presentation. And apologize if Dina wasn't able to participate. We're glad to have your presentation.